I've entitled the message for this morning, Hearing and Not Hearing. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. John says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. If you're asking, well, who is it they have overcome? He had been talking about the false prophets bringing another message in the previous verse. He said, you've overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They, these false prophets, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, what a dogmatic statement John makes. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now that could almost sound like some kind of dogmatic statement from a cult leader demanding exclusive obedience to what's being said. But this is not a statement from a cult leader. This is the divinely inspired apostle making this statement. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Now, John is saying, if you know God, you'll hear me. And that doesn't just mean audibly. You'll believe what I'm saying. And if you're not of God, if you don't know God, you will not hear me. Now let's begin in verse 4. You are of God, little children. Now he's speaking to believers. Not everybody is of God, but every believer is. You are of God, little children. Now what this has to do with is origin. It's where you're from. You are from God. Your origin is God himself. Now what this is a reference to is the glorious truth of the believer's eternal union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer doesn't find their origin from this world. Their origin is being eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've always been in him, whom he did foreknow. That means love beforehand, know beforehand. Every believer has always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read how we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In Christ is our standing, and that's our origin. You know, when I get to heaven, I'll find out I've always been there in the person of Christ, being united to him. You know, this is really what we're confessing in baptism. When someone is baptized, they're confessing, when Christ lived, I was in him. When he died, I was in him. I died as well. When he was raised from the dead, I was in him. I was raised from the dead in him. As he ascended into heaven, I ascended with him, in him. This is the believer's eternal union with Christ. And that's what he's talking about when he says, you are of God, little children. That's where you're from. Your salvation is of the Lord. And it also has to do with possession. You're of God. That means you belong to him. I am my beloved's and he is mine. It has to do with a relationship. A son of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, birthed, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, what is the evidence of being of God? He said, you are of God, little children. What is the evidence that one is of God? John chapter 8, verse 47 says, he that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not. He was speaking to people who were rejecting his message. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, if I'm preaching the word of God and you hear me, you're of God. If you believe what's being said, if I'm preaching the word of God and you say, I won't hear that, I don't believe that, that would mean you are not of God. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And the ones that he's speaking of that they've overcome are the false prophets. In verse 1 of this same chapter, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, but is of that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come. And even now, already it's in the world. Now you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. These men with this false message. They don't confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now when I confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, I confess that he was before he came. He's the eternal God. He never had a beginning. He never had a cause. He is life, independent, life in himself. He's always had the life of God. I love that passage of scripture in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, a different person, yet the Word was God, the eternal God. He always was. This is speaking of his eternal isness. He was before he came. He came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he did what he came to do. You know, most preaching, and this is really the message of a false prophet, so listen real carefully. Most preaching begins with man and man's need. They'll even talk about his sin and his need to be saved, but they begin with man, man's need, and God's desire to meet that need. Kind of like God is around just to help men. Now, that is a completely wrong view of the gospel and of God. Why did the Lord come? Well, he said in John chapter 17, verse 1, Father, the hour has come, talking about the hour of the cross, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee. Salvation is for the glory of God. Now, many men benefit from that. We're thankful for that. We're thankful for the mercy and the grace and love that's in the gospel. But understand this, God does what he does for his own glory. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I finished it. There's nothing left to do. And that's what glorifies God, Christ's completed work. Now, the false prophet will always give you something to do to complete that work. The false prophet presents the gospel as an offer. God is offering you forgiveness. God is offering you eternal life. God is offering you grace. God wants you to have this, and he's offering it to you. But as to whether or not you have it, it's up to whether or not you decide to accept it or reject it. You see, if salvation is an offer, that means it's ultimately dependent upon what you do with that offer. It's actually a message of salvation by works. And that's what the false prophet is always going to be doing. He's going to be giving you something to do to complete the work. It won't be complete unless your hand does what you're supposed to do. And when that message is preached, it's a message of the false prophets. They deny a finished work. I love what the Lord said in John chapter 19, verse 30. It is finished. Not the door is open and now let's see what happens. It is finished. When he said it is finished, the salvation of everybody he died for was accomplished. All of the elect, their sins were paid for. They were justified by what he did on Calvary's tree. The gospel is not an offer. The gospel is a completed work that he has done. Now, notice it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, these false prophets. And here's the reason why. It's not because you're smarter. It's not because you're more spiritual. It's not because you're better. It's because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That is why a believer will not be deceived. That is why a believer will continue to the end, because greater is he that is in them. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, Satan is very powerful, but Christ is omnipotent. And that's why every believer is eternally secure. Christ died for them. Christ put away their sin. Christ justified them. Christ is in heaven right now as their great intercessor. He is salvation. And greater is he that's in you, John says to the believer, than he that is in the world. In John chapter 10, verse 26, we read these words. Verse 26, but you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, my all-powerful hand. My Father, which gave them me, he's talking about the gift of God to Christ, his bride, the elect. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now you're of God, little children. You've overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now in verse 5, he says they, and he's speaking of the false prophets. He says, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, what John is saying is, these men are not of God, they are of the world, the same world which the world by wisdom knew not God, the world for which Christ refused to pray. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. The world that hates Christ. The Lord said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the deeds thereof are evil. The world which he commanded us not to love, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, they are of the world that hates God. Now, the world doesn't mean the planet. It's that the world's religion, the world's maxims, the world's values, that which is against God, that which is against the gospel, that which is against the way of salvation by Christ and salvation by grace. That's the world he's speaking of. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world. They speak in a manner in which the world can understand and which the world can relate. They're speaking of the world. Let me show you this in Colossians chapter 2. This is the message of the false prophet Paul gives in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the ABCs, the elements, the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. That means if you're a believer, you don't lack anything. You're perfectly holy. You're perfectly justified. You're perfectly accepted in God's sight. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Colossians 1:22 says, and that's because of what he accomplished on Calvary's tree. He put away your sins. He gave you his righteousness, and you are perfect in him. And the world will say, you're not complete. There's something you need to do to complete what he did in order for you to be saved. It's a system of salvation by works. That's all the world understands. Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, all these man-made rules and regulations that come out of religion? And all it is worldly. And then he gives the touch not, taste not, handle not. If you don't touch this, if you don't taste this, if you don't handle this, you'll be okay. You'll be good. That's what you need to do. And Paul tells us, which all are to perish with the using. If that's what my religion's about, what I do and don't do, all I'm going to do is perish. And all it is after the doctrines and commandments of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and in humility, a voluntary humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That is nothing more than fleshly religion. And that's what the world understands. They speak of the world, and you know, man's religion is an appeal to the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, trying to impress men, loving the praise of men, wanting their approval, the pride of life, self-righteousness. The entire appeal of human religion is to the flesh. And verse 6, John says, we are of God. We're not of the world. We are of God. And I realize that every preacher and every church makes that claim. We're of God. All the denominations, we've got a better grasp on God than the other denominations do. We're of God. God sent us. Everybody makes that claim. I realize that. But remember, John gave us a test by which we can know someone, whether or not someone is of God. And that test is found in that seven-word statement, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He was before he came. He came in the flesh. He is eternal God. He came in the flesh. The Word was made flesh, and he did what he came to do, to glorify his Father, to finish the work the Father gave him to do. Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that is exactly what he did. And someone that leaves something for you to do to complete the work, that person is a false prophet. They don't really know the gospel. So you can judge whether somebody's telling you the truth by what they say. John chapter 4, verse 6, we are of God. Everybody that preaches the gospel, they're of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Now, if you don't know God, when you hear a false prophet, you don't know what he's saying is wrong because you don't know God. But if you know God, if you know his character, as the scripture reveals, he's absolutely sovereign, in control of everything, that he's eternal, that he never had a beginning, that he's absolutely just, that he will not let any sin go unpunished because he's just. If you know his love, and his love is a saving love, behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. A God of absolute predestination. That's the only God there is a God of absolute predestination. When you know God, you know his character, you know his attributes. You know he can't change, he's immutable. You know he's infinite. Now, when you know this God and you hear someone say something contrary to the God you know that person is not of God, or they wouldn't be saying that about God if they knew him. Because Folks who know God. They know what he's like. They've had him, God has revealed himself in the gospel to them through his word. And if somebody says, I know Todd Nybert, and what's he like? Well, he's got a full head of red hair, and he's 4'6". Well, that's not the Todd Nybert I know. You see, if you know God, you know him. And if you hear somebody say something contrary to the one you know that person is not of God. They're misrepresenting the character of God. Now, he that knoweth God heareth us. If you know God, you know who he is. And when you hear truth concerning him, you say, yes, that's the God I know. That's the God who has been revealed to me. You understand that. Now, we are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that's not of God. There is such a thing as being not of God. If you're not eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not of God. You remember when the Lord said concerning his people, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, those who are of the world are those who are not of God. Those are the ones who do not hear the gospel. Now, he that's not of God heareth not us, and we don't expect them to. We don't expect them to. You know, they're sheep and they're goats. Sheep hear, goats do not hear. A goat will always have a but, some kind of objection to what they hear. Sheep hear, but goats do not hear. Now, what is the key in this thing of hearing? You know, I want to have a hearing ear, don't you? The Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I want to hear what God says. I want to hear the gospel as gospel. Now, what is the key in this thing of hearing? He that's of God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. I want to know if I'm a hearer. Well, I begin with what I've already stated. He that's of God heareth God's words. And you can only hear God's words when you're hearing as a sinner. Now let me repeat that statement. You can only hear God's words when you're hearing as a sinner. Because if you're not hearing as a sinner, you can't understand. You don't have a frame of reference. You don't have a need for what you're hearing. You may disagree with it. But if you're a sinner, you're going to have a different way of hearing than everybody else. You see, everybody that's of God is a sinner. Now, you said, isn't everybody sinners? Yeah, everybody's sinners, but not everybody knows it. I'm talking about the people who know it. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. That's how they see themselves. They cannot not sin. A sinner is someone who can't look down his nose at anybody in moral superiority. A sinner is somebody that has no claims on God. He doesn't have a sense of entitlement. He's a sinner. Now, when you're a sinner, the reason you know you're a sinner is because you've been given a new nature. You're of God. You've been born of God. You've been given a holy nature. And you're the only one that can see what sin is in the first place. An unbeliever doesn't have any understanding of sin. They think it's all behavioral. They don't know anything about having an evil heart that is nothing but evil. I think of that scripture, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, do you think, well, my heart's not like that. It's not like every imagination of my thoughts is only evil continually. I don't believe that about myself. Well, it's because you don't have a new nature. Because if you had a holy nature, a new nature, you would see that that's the truth about yourself. You see, when you hear as a sinner, you will be hearing with a sense of need. And here's the first thing that you're going to need. You're going to have an inspired revelation written down called the Bible. You're going to need that because you don't trust men. You know how sinful you are. You know how sinful men are. And you don't trust any man simply to tell you the truth. You're going to have an inspired word from God written down by God himself through men so you can know the truth. There is no salvation apart from the Bible. knowing the truth of the Bible. And if this is not God's inspired word, it's no different than reading Shakespeare or some other form of literature. But no, this is the inspired word of God. How do you expect me to believe that? Well, do you believe that God created the universe? If he can create the universe, he can inspire men to write a book that is without error. Now, when you see yourself to be a sinner, you need God to do something for you because you know you can't do anything to save yourself. You need God to choose you. You know, I love election, God choosing who would be saved, because I know if he didn't choose me, I'd never choose him. I know myself. I wouldn't do it. I need God to elect a people. I need to be one of them. I need Christ to be a successful Savior. If you would tell me that Christ could die for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, you're taking away my only hope, because my only hope is that he died for me and actually put away my sin, and it is no more. I need grace that actually saves, that's invincible and that's irresistible, grace that won't take no for an answer. I need to be preserved by God's grace. I need all these things because I'm a sinner. You know, there are just not many sinners. But I tell you what, every sinner that knows themselves to be a sinner by the grace of God is somebody Christ came to save. We read in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if you're a sinner, you need a God, a sovereign God, who can command your salvation and save you by who Christ is and what he did with no help from yourself. That's what you need. Now, that is the spirit, that's hearing. You hear that way. That's the spirit of truth, and that is the spirit of error. I'd like to end with this scripture. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, that I should have confidence in, that I should rest in, that I should rejoice in, that I should trust anything save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified to me. I see this world in the light of the cross, and I see it for what it is. And I unto the world also has no love for me. Now, I want to be one of these hearers, don't you? We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you.